Soul Recovery is not just this podcast. It is a community. And each month on the first Monday, we get together on Zoom to support each other. I give a topic, then we break into small groups. It's a powerful way to be seen and witnessed and heard and supported through your own soul recovery journey. This is free to attend and open to everyone. Go to the website to register. The next one is May 6th from 6 to 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Also, in June on the 8th and 9th is an in-person soul recovery retreat in Lafayette, Colorado. This is going to be a weekend of incredible transformation, learning how to use soul recovery in your life and to leave that weekend transformed. Visit the website for more about what to expect and how to register. Enjoy the episode. Feelings are a big part of our soul recovery. Learning how to feel our feelings, learning how to take responsibility for our feelings, learning how to be aware of our feelings, and learning how to care about how we feel. This isn't always an easy path, and for many of us, we don't even know what feelings to feel. We're just figuring that part out, and that's okay too. That's really important, just learning how to have awareness. In this episode, we're talking about the value of feelings, how to care about your feelings, how to learn to be with them, how to not let somebody else dictate how we feel. We're taking our power back. We're learning how to be okay, even when the rest of the world around us isn't okay. My name is Reverend Rachel Harrison, and this is the Recover Your Soul podcast, a spiritual path to a happy and healthy life. I started Recover Your Soul after having profound changes in my life, from my recovery of alcoholism, control addiction, and codependency. I was guided to share the tools and principles of spirituality and soul recovery to help others transform their lives as mine was transformed. For us to overcome external circumstances, we must first turn the attention to ourselves, focusing on inner change. Positive results in our lives will follow. In soul recovery, we talk a lot about feelings. And we talk a lot about feelings because feelings are such an elemental part of who we are as human beings. And yet, Brené Brown's recent book, Atlas of the Heart, talks about how we really don't even know what feelings are, generally that people can only name a handful of feelings. And in her book, she opens up to the fact that there's some 54 or 50 something amounts of individual feelings that are under certain subheadings that have similarities, but have different tastes to each of them. And part of us learning about ourselves and part of soul recovery is accessing our feelings, having clarity of our feelings. What are our feelings telling us? How can we use our feelings as, in one of my past episodes, an emotional GPS? But this episode is around really caring about your feelings, starting to have awareness of the feelings. Caring about how you choose to feel. Interesting, I used how you choose to feel in that last sentence, because prior to soul recovery for me, I wouldn't have been able to clarify that I was choosing to feel a certain way and that I felt like the world provided for me what was happening on the outside of the world, the circumstances, the situations, the people, what was happening out there dictated how I felt. And there's that classic, you make me feel a certain way. You make me feel. Now, the more soul recovery I do, the more I turn the attention to myself, the more healing that I have, the more I'm looking at my old patterns, my old belief systems. What are these experiences that I've had in life that have quote unquote made me feel a certain way? And then how am I personally choosing to continue those storylines? How am I personally choosing to live my life with those belief systems, with those patterns, with those ways of being that may not serve me anymore, that may not be true? In the episode with Gretchen Stetcher, who is a therapist in my area, was really one of my aha moments in talking about resentments, talking about our feelings that are in our body. And isn't it interesting that as soon as we learn something, then it comes into us in a whole bunch of different ways? I'm just constantly reading. I'm constantly soaking up information. I'm constantly listening to books. I'm constantly listening to podcasts. I am gathering as much information as I can to continue to learn, to continue to grow, to continue to move forward in my spiritual development and my soul recovery path. And in that conversation with her, I know that I'd heard this information before, but I hadn't taken it in yet. And in that conversation, she talked about how we hold on to our emotions in our body. And that then when we have a resentment, when we have a frustration, and those energies start to come up and boil and bubble up in that resentment, that frustration, it's actually grabbing with it all of the past traumas and memories that relate to those emotions, those feelings. And so then that feeling that we're having in that particular moment is really big to us. Maybe to the other person, they're wondering, what the heck is going on? Why are you so upset? This isn't that big of a deal. But really, it's not just that moment, that thing that was said. It is a combination of so much of what's inside of us. And isn't that true that we have so many stories going on inside of us at any given moment that whatever these situations are in our lives, it actually is bringing with it all of that pain, all of that suffering, all of those emotions, right? So here we are, not even knowing how to feel the feelings, how to let them wash over us, not even knowing how to identify the feelings beyond anger, love, joy, frustration. See, I'm even having trouble coming up with some of the feelings. It's interesting. And so what we want to do when we care about our feelings is start by acknowledging our feelings. Start by having awareness of our feelings, allowing ourselves to feel. I work with people who aren't even able to feel because they weren't given permission as children to feel, either by someone telling them, oh, you don't feel sad, stop crying, or that every time they wanted to do something, they were overly controlled. And so what that taught them was they didn't have permission to make their own decisions, to feel their own feelings. Somebody else was going to dictate for them what was going to happen in their lives. For many of us, here we are, grown adults, and we're just starting to figure this stuff out. I'm 50, what year is it? I'm 53. And I think that it's really in the last 10 years in general and 5 years in particular that I've even accessed the depth of the feelings for myself, even allowed myself to feel. Even the pain that I had been feeling for so many years and the frustration, it's like I had been shoving it down so hard, trying not to feel it, that all I felt was misery and discontent and frustration and sadness. But even in that, I wasn't actually feeling those feelings. I was trying so hard to not feel the feelings that there was just a mire of yuckiness around me. But when I started doing this work and allowed myself to actually touch those younger, softer, fearful, abandoned, hurt, exposed places of myself, of my younger self, and start to love those parts of me, accept those shadow sides of me, see how they are part of how I am today, where those hurts came from, how they set up patterns for myself, then I actually started to feel the pain that was really underneath there. And those feelings opened up to more feelings so that I could access the tender parts, the parts that are hard to expose, the parts that don't just hold on to happy or sad or angry or excited, but that have more nuance than that. Now, caring about how you feel is first in having awareness of our feelings, noticing what our feelings are, starting to have more clarity of the nuances of those feelings, defining more feelings, where did they come from, and then starting to recognize, does this feeling serve me? Does it actually feel good, or does it feel hard? And if it feels hard, what am I protecting? Why do I want to continue feeling this feeling? I definitely held on to feeling sorry for myself because it gave me something at that time. It gave me sort of this coat hook to hang my unhappy life coat on that said, see, this is why I'm unhappy. These are the reasons why my life is so shitty. This is what's happening, my victim self. And I don't think I wanted actually to feel better because there was so much energy around my dysfunction and my blame of everybody else of why I was unhappy, because I wasn't really willing to look at myself yet. I wasn't willing and ready to take responsibility for my own life. It was way easier to spend all my time and energy being frustrated and pissed off and blaming Rich and the rest of the world about why I was miserable. So acknowledging like that feeling doesn't feel good. And then acknowledging I didn't want to feel good yet. And then we get to this place in our life where the discomfort is so uncomfortable that we're finally willing to do whatever it takes to get healthy and heal. And that's true whether it's an addict, as I was an alcoholic, that the discomfort and my addiction had become so bad that I was willing to do whatever it took to get sober from alcohol. But emotionally, we get to that same place where really we're so uncomfortable. And people say, I don't know how I've let myself be in this marriage for so long. I don't know how I let myself get to this place where it's so bad. Well, we have to get to the place where it is so uncomfortable that we're willing to take the deep dive, do the big work, and wake up and start doing soul recovery. And it takes the decision to choose how you want to feel. As a spiritual coach, I can support you on your path to make deep and real changes that will bring you a life of peace, happiness, connection, and abundance. Visit the website recoveryoursoul.net to book coaching sessions, read the blog, listen to some of my original music, and subscribe to receive email updates. I think of Recover Your Soul as a community. Follow us on social media, join the private Facebook group, and even our monthly soul recovery support group on Zoom to support each other and connect. For an extra episode each week, become a Patreon member or subscribe on Apple Podcasts. If these episodes are helping you in any way and you want to donate, you want to really figure out how can I support this community and recover your soul, please look at the show notes below. There is a link to be able to donate monthly $3, $5, $8, or $10. This cost of a fancy cup of coffee would really help support this community and recover your soul. Together, we can do the work that will recover your soul. And when we do that and we start to care about how we feel, we start to wake up and we start to recognize that we don't want to feel bad anymore, that we want to let go of that no longer serves us, that we're willing and ready to go underneath, turn over the rocks, look in the dark places of our soul, go back to those memories that have been our core memories of pain, and really unearth them and start to look at them from the perspective of healing and not from the perspective of being a victim anymore. That's where the incredible healing can be. And then we get to this place where we recognize, oh, I choose my feeling. I can't actually say anymore, you make me feel a certain way, good or bad. I actually choose how I'm going to see it. I choose how I'm going to feel it. And there are definitely things that can happen in life where somebody says something or does something that are painful or hurtful, or they are saying mean things, right? Like, luckily in my relationship, Rich has not been somebody who says mean things to me, which I'm so grateful for. But there's definitely times where his energy or the way that he is interacting with other people or his opinions or how he is twisting something, it affects me in a negative way. And it, quote unquote, makes me feel uncomfortable, or it makes me feel sad, or it makes me feel lonely. But now that I've done soul recovery, what I can recognize is that he is just being himself, and that I choose to feel what I feel because I'm choosing to either be coming from a hurtful place where something feels abandoning to me, or feels uncomfortable to me, or I feel confronted, or I feel judged. And again, he might be saying stuff that feels judging. He may be saying, I don't like what you're doing here. This wasn't very good. Recently, he's been distracted with his bands and with work. And it made me, quote unquote, made me feel lonely. When I look at that, he's not being aggressive. He is just checked out and doing his own thing. But I decide in every interaction that we're having how that's going to make me feel. And then I look at it and I say, you know what? I actually don't like feeling lonely. That actually isn't about Rich that is making me feel lonely right now. That's actually, when I started journaling about it, that went way deep into my childhood of being alone, of having parents who were very distracted, that it reminded me of having parents who were really distracted, that there was no time for me, that I didn't feel like I could ask for the time that I needed and wanted, that I didn't feel like I was worthy of the attention, that something else is always more important than me. See how those are old feelings? And they're really about me, how I'm connecting to them, how I'm connecting to this situation. And so in our situation now, where we can speak to each other more clearly and ask for what we need, what I was able to say was, and this is a tool, when you, I feel, and I need. When you are so distracted with the bands and work, I feel really isolated and I need connection. I need more time with you. And he was able to immediately come back and say, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize you were feeling that way. I just really have been wrapped up in these things. What do you want to do? Well, isn't that amazing that it doesn't take all that much? But even when it was bad, even when he was in his worst state and I was in my worst state, where we were fighting all the time, specifically about Alex, and we each had these strong opinions about how we wanted it to be, I can recognize now that I was still in my responsibility for myself. I was choosing how I heard what was said. I was choosing to feel pain. It was backing up my belief systems that were my old painful belief systems, that I felt challenged, that I reacted and responded back to him, that I attacked back. So now that I can see that, and I'm saying to myself, care about how you feel. What I notice is that when I choose to be attacking, when I choose to be hurt, when I choose to take what's being said as an affront to me that doesn't feel good, and I want to choose to feel differently, I want to notice, I want to care about how I feel, because I actually want to attract to myself more positive emotions. I want to attract to myself the healthiness in my life. So it doesn't mean that I'm shoving stuff down. What it means is that I'm caring about how I feel so that I can recognize that in that situation with Rich of feeling lonely, I'm deciding how I'm going to attach to that. And I'm caring about wanting to feel clarity. I'm caring about wanting to feel connection. I'm caring about wanting to feel love. And I'm caring about wanting to be compassionate to myself. And in that, then I can work on what's really up for me. Then I can come to my partner and ask for what it is that I truly need and how he can be helpful to me. And I'm really healing myself because I'm looking at those old places that still hurt, that those buttons that still get pushed. And when we feel happy, we want to recognize what makes us feel happy. I talk a lot about what hurts, right? But what we're moving towards in soul recovery is ease and contentment, a spiritual path to a happy and healthy life. I'd say 90% of the time now, I am living a very happy and healthy life. What a gift that is. And so the next step is to really look at what makes you feel good. What makes you feel happy? What makes you feel contented? What is it that brings you joy? And do more of that. Really milk what feels good. And recognize the value of how when you feel good in one area of your life, how that spills over into other areas of our life. You've heard me say that I listened to Abraham Hicks, and Abraham Hicks is actually a woman named Esther Hicks, who has been channeling source energy, she calls it, since the 80s, and her focus is on the law of attraction. You can find her on YouTube. So I've been listening to it for a while because what it reminds me and what she teaches is that we spend so much time and energy focusing on what we don't want. We don't want our bank account to be low. We don't like how our husband is behaving. We don't like how it is at work. We don't like how the government is. We don't like how this friend is treating us. We don't like how we look. We don't like how we feel. We expend all this energy on these feelings of discontent and unhappiness. And if you feel how that feels, you can feel how your energy level, your vibration goes down. But more than that, we are a radiating source of energy. We are radiating out energy. And so the more that we get caught up in, I don't want that, the more of what we don't want comes to us because it's actually the vibration that we're sending out. It's the energy that we're sending out. Now, it's pretty hard to just all of a sudden decide I'm not going to think about what I don't want, what I don't like. But interestingly enough, when I started doing the work of soul recovery and started spending more time being connected with what is working, being connected with what is mine to do, being aware of what I have control over, letting go of the control of everybody else, being grateful for what I do have, somehow more of what I wanted started to appear. The way I wanted to feel started to appear. The way I wanted my relationship to be happened. The way I wanted financially our lives to be. We're not rich people by any stretch of the imagination, but I am supporting myself in the same financial way that I did working my regular job with Recover Your Soul as I did working for a company. And my husband's company supports us. We live a life that we can support ourselves with because we're grateful, because we can feel and know that everything's working out for us. And doesn't that feel better to come from that feeling that says, I know everything's working out for me? I want to feel ease and contentment. Care about how you feel. And what Abraham talks about is that if you find one area in your life where you feel absolute joy and happiness, and you do more of that, it actually releases our mind energy that we are holding onto of all the places that aren't working, because we get to feel the joy and happiness of what we are enjoying in our life. Maybe it's time with friends or with your kids or with your husband or with your pet or doing art or reading or meditating. For me, it's this. Every morning when I wake up and I do my spiritual practice, I am filled with lightness and happiness and connection. And that radiates out into the day so that I have the energy to be a bright light in the world. And I believe strongly that the more that I had clarity of what filled me up and brought me joy, the more that that spilled over into the other areas of my life. So when we care about how we feel, we start to realize that how we feel in the end affects everything around us, that we can stop saying, you make me feel a certain way. And we can start saying, I choose how I'm going to feel. And I can choose whether I'm going to let someone's words harm me or not. I can look at Rich or in any situation or in any other person. I know I use him all the time, but I've had people who have said mean things to me, unkind, horrible things to me. In that moment, if we can step back and have compassion and see someone who's hurting, see somebody who doesn't know how to handle their feelings, somebody who's come from pain, somebody who's struggling, and open up to the awareness that we choose whether we're going to let these emotions, these words come in and attach to us. Now we can have boundaries. We can have clear boundaries if you're around people who aren't nice or don't say nice things, to be able to say, it's unacceptable for you to speak to me that way. That's important to have boundaries. But even as somebody is saying those things to us, we choose how we feel. We care about how we feel. We notice what parts of us those words are touching. We take responsibility for how we take them in. And then we take responsibility for how we're going to respond instead of react, how we're going to process, how we're going to heal, how we're going to grow, what are we going to release. It helps us to look at some of these relationships and say, is this relationship helpful to me? Is this relationship healthy for me? Is this situation healthy for me? And we become more energetically aligned with what is working for us. And we care about how we feel. And we choose happiness, and we choose ease, and we choose contentment, and we choose prosperity, and we choose success, and we choose joy. We choose connection. We choose love. Again, if you need help working through any of this, this is the work that we do in spiritual coaching with Soul Recovery, is looking at these feelings, looking at these past parts of our lives, looking at our younger selves, that these core memories, working through the steps of soul recovery, of releasing all that that no longer serves us so that we can choose a happy and healthy life. I'm here to help you if you need support. Until next time, namaste. Just a side note, I finished the podcast and I went to go look at Brené Brown's Atlas of the Heart list of emotions. And there are 87 human emotions and experiences that she talks about in the book Atlas of the Heart. And they talk about the feelings that you have when things are uncertain or too much, or when we compare, then when things don't go as planned, when it's beyond us, when things aren't what they seem, when we're hurting, when we go places with others, when we fall short, when we search for connection, when our heart is open, when life is good, when we feel wronged, and self-access. Under each of these categories is an entire list of feelings and emotions. Isn't that interesting? So many categories and so many ways to feel. I encourage you to check out the book if it interests you, because we want to learn more about ourselves and our atlas of our heart. Are you wondering, how do I go deeper on my soul recovery journey? Or how do I support this great podcast? Well, here's your call to action. If you're ready for real interchange and would like to work directly with me, visit the website and book a coaching session. I'm here to support you on your unique path. I'm here to help you let go of the past, to deepen your connection with higher power, whatever that is for you, and then to discover and step into a happy and healthy life of your making. You can also become part of the Soul Recovery community. One way is to join the support group. It's the first Monday of every month. It's on Zoom from 6 to 7 p.m. Mountain Time, and you can register on the website and get your Zoom link. It's the same link every month. We're also on social media. Of course, there's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and now even Insight Timer. Yes, lots of ways to connect. There is even a private Facebook group that will allow you for more communication and conversation about soul recovery with your community. if you'd like an extra bonus episode every Friday, you can become an Apple Podcast subscriber or choose your tier level of giving on Patreon. I'd also love all the listeners to subscribe on the website so that I can keep you informed on what's going on with the podcast, the community, with me, and anything that's up and coming and new and great about soul recovery. Also, if you just take a little bit of time and give me 5 stars, a quick review, share the podcast with friends and family, make sure you're subscribing however you listen to the podcast, we're helping even more people to have soul recovery in their lives. If this podcast is providing you spiritual nourishment and inspiration, thank you, thank you, thank you for going to the website, pushing the donate button, and giving whatever feels right to you. It means so much to me because I have this mission of sharing soul recovery with the world, and your donations, your bookings, your subscriptions, everything that you do to be part of this community is making all that happen. Together, we can do the work that will recover your soul. The Recover Your Soul podcast and its content is for educational purposes only and is not allied or representative of any organizations or religions. It's based on the opinions and experience of Reverend Rachel Harrison. Recover Your Soul claims no responsibility to any persons or entity for any liability, loss, damage, or cause alleged to be caused directly or indirectly as a result of its use. Applications or interpretations of the information represented herein. Take what you need and leave the rest.